All right, could I have a couple of people help me with the communion, and we'll I want you to look at this bread as we discern the body of Christ. I want you to look at it specifically and try to see Jesus' sacrifice. See His body on that cross. And we look at this, we see this beaten bread, this pounded down bread flat, and this broken bread. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. His body was broken for us. And if we see the stripes on His back for our healing, we see His pierced body. Not only were the Roman soldiers thrust that spear into His side, but we see the holes in His hands and His feet. And from the crown of thorns, we see His body as God turned His eyes away from Him and laid the full wrath of His judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, on Him. He took every sin, every curse, every sickness upon His body so that we could be healed. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus did an absolutely perfect work in our lives. It's so hard for us to see when we go and look in the mirror, to see ourselves as being made perfect in the eyes of God. But you have to understand, when God looks at you, He looks at you through a veil of the blood of Jesus. He looks at Jesus when He sees you. And He sees that sacrifice of Jesus as being absolutely perfect. That's how He sees you, because of the work of Jesus on His cross. We thank You. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew people had to keep the law. And when they broke the law, they had to do some kind of a sacrifice for whatever particular thing they did wrong. So they would take this sacrifice to the high priest, and he would prepare it, and he would sacrifice whatever it was they were going to sacrifice, to burn it on the altar. Sometimes it was grain, sometimes it was a pigeon, sometimes a lamb. But when God looked at the sacrifice and seen that as acceptable, then the person was accepted. But God didn't look at the person, He looked at the sacrifice. We have to realize that. He's not looking at us. He's looking at the sacrifice. He looks at the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So when you make a mistake, don't beat yourself down and feel like God is looking down at you. He's still looking at the sacrifice, and He still sees you as perfect in that blood of Jesus. Amen. All right, last week, we better have children's church, don't you think? Last week, We talked about sowing the seed, sowing the Word of God. That was our job. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 that the sower sows the Word, and that's our job, is to sow the Word. Tell people about Jesus. That's our job. Sometimes people get confused and think that we have to get somebody born again. That's great when we get somebody born again. Some people think that we have to get somebody healed, we have to get somebody delivered, somebody set free. That's great when those things happen. Our job is to sow the Word. That's our job. If anything beyond that happens, then glory to God. Thank God that the Holy Spirit was there to cause something to happen. You know, sometimes we get fortunate to be able to be a part of the experience of somebody getting born again. Sometimes not. But as long as we sow the Word, we've done our job. Too many times people get frustrated. I want you to open up to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith comes. For absolutely everybody, Christians and non-believers alike, the only way faith is going to happen is by hearing the Word of God. So when we tell somebody about the Word of God, when we tell somebody about Jesus, and we're sowing the Word of God into their heart, we're sowing that Word. We're sowing seed into their heart. Some people may accept it gladly. Some people may reject it. Some of them may reject it fiercely. Your job is not getting them to accept it. Your job is to sow it. If they accept it, great. If they don't, they don't. They didn't reject you. You got to get over yourself. They didn't reject you. They rejected Jesus. They rejected the Word of God, not you. So you see that? They're not turning you down. They're turning Jesus down. But if they don't hear about Jesus, they're not going to be able to have faith in their heart to receive Him. Amen? But I want to go through some things and show you why it's so important not to give up. Don't ever forget this. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 20. So behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind them and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I will be made whole. That's pretty significant. She didn't just come up with that idea on her own. She heard about somebody touching his clothes and got healed. So she went down there and she got healed. Now look down to verse 24. So he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Now Jesus, you could say he was the master seed sower, wouldn't you say? I don't think anybody could speak the Word of God like him. Now he just did a notable miracle. That woman with the issue of blood came down and touched the hem of his garment and got healed. They were still walking down the street and he got to this maid's house and said, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And they laughed him to scorn. These people just watched this woman with the issue of blood of how many years get healed, and they didn't even get the dust off their feet to the next spot, and they laughed him to scorn. See, you can do a good thing right over here. You can step out in faith and get something done in the Spirit, and somebody get healed, somebody get set free, somebody get born again, and you get over to the other end of town and somebody's having a hard time, and you go to, and there will be mockers. There may be somebody that sat there and watched you do that, that will doubt that the Spirit of God will do it over there. But don't give up. They did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. They laughed him to scorn. Now look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 35. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought into him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. See the power of sowing some seed? Don't be frustrated over little things. You know, maybe it was one woman. Just one woman came down and touched the hem of his garment. And then the very next thing, they were laughing him to scorn. What happened just a little while later? They were dragging people to town to touch the hem of his garment. Don't give up. Don't give up. Remember, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in his name, that's what he would do. So it's him doing the doing anyway. Our job is to sow the word. Our job is to pray and let him be responsible for the outcome. Amen? Don't give up. Now go down to chapter 15, verse 2. It says, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Jesus was walking around doing miracles and doing good things. People were laughing him to scorn. And then it got carried away and people were starting to bring people into town so that they could touch the hem of his garment. And then the religious mafia showed up. You know, they're still in business today, the religious mafia. They're still here. They're still active. You can go do something, and somebody could get born again, somebody could get set free, somebody could get healed, whatever, and there will be somebody. Well, we all know that was God and not you. Well, praise God, because if it was me, that guy would be toast. What are they really doing? They're just trying to cast doubt. They're trying to cast out. They're trying to get people separated from that anointing of God. A lot of church people are in those shoes, trying to get people separated from the anointing of God. They see somebody do something good. They see it with their own eyes. They see somebody do something that only God could do. And then the very next thing you know, they're opposing something that God wants to do through somebody again. Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 says, they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. Now here's the thing. People get called into different assignments. I don't know how many times I've talked to people that said, we've been called to go to this town, or we've been called to go to this state or this other place, and we believe it's God, so we're going to go. And so then they'll go, and they get there, and they'd be back in 2 or 3 months or 5 months, and they say, we missed God. It wasn't him. There was nothing working out. It was hard. Things were just not right, and we just got out of there. No, it was God. And the devil met you with resistance, and you gave up, and you came back. Jesus got met with resistance. He got to the Gadarenes, and the very first thing, the devil had somebody there in his face that had been a problem to everybody in the community. They couldn't even hold him in chains. But that was the very first person that Jesus met. And Jesus could have said, oh man, this is hard. I must have missed God. Let's get back on the boat, go back home. But he didn't. But people do that all the time. Don't expect everything to be easy. If it's a mission from God, you should expect resistance. You should expect resistance to every area that you have. In fact, if I don't catch resistance when God sticks me on a mission, if I don't find resistance, I start wondering, is this really of God? I expect there to be a fight in the spirit every time I go to do something. You know there's an antichrist out there. It's anti-anointing. There is people that resist the anointing of God everywhere you go. They don't want that anointing of God to operate in their church. They don't want God to operate that anointing through people in their community. They definitely don't want it to operate in their courthouses. You see why there should be some resistance. If it really is of God, there should be some resistance. The devil is not going to just sit there and drink a glass of iced tea and say, oh, you're on a mission from God. Go do your thing. I'll just stay out of your way. That's just not the way it is, but people act like that's the way it should be. Jesus didn't have it that way. Look what had just happened. A man possessed with the devil came out and met him. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou not torment me. For he said, come unto him. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Okay. Here's the thing. Sometimes you'll go into an area, and it would be just so fun to just run in there and just go in there and start getting people water baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, and getting people born again, you know, having fun being a part of the harvest. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just not reality. Sometimes you got to go in there with your knuckles clenched, and you're going to have to do some fighting in the spirit. Sometimes there's people in there that need to be set free. And that's where you need to come up with enough spiritual backbone to go in there and deal with the evil spirit and get that thing cast out of people. You realize sometimes you have to fight for people? I asked a guy one time, I said, you've been hanging around all these people, why aren't you born again? He said, I tried. I would like to get born again. I tried. And every time I try to say that prayer, my tongue just stops. And I can't say anything. And I said, well, do you want to get born again? He said, yeah. But I can't say that prayer. Every time I try, my tongue stops. I said, well, would you give me authority to speak in your life? And he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, well, he said, yeah, okay. So I cast that devil out of him, and he got born again on the spot, and then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So then he was on an extended break. Had to put him over into a room. We were working on a house. And he's in there laughing and singing and having a good time. My boss got back from wherever he was going. And he said, what is he doing? And he went out there, and the guy just completely changed. And my boss comes out, oh, never mind. He already knew. But sometimes you have to get in there and do some of the dirty work. I'm not talking about just the fivefold ministry. I'm talking about believers in general. Believers in general. When you're dealing with people, you may have to do some of the dirty work. You may have to get people set free. This is why it's so important to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have that power to get people turned around without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. It's just not. Oh, we'll chase them out with the word. I know you won't. I've seen people sit in church for years under very anointed preaching. For years. Listening to the word of God, and they weren't set free. Because they didn't get that demon cast out of them, because believers didn't believe that Christians could have a demon. Christians can have a demon. Not be possessed. You have to understand there's a three-part being. Yeah, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you are in a body. When you get born again, Jesus takes possession of your spirit. You're still attached to this fine-tuned thinking machine up there between your soul, between your ears, that has been being fed wrong information for years and years and years and years. Sometimes it's come into influence of some very demonic things. Sometimes, you know, there's religious spirits. There's all kinds of things that can happen to a human being. Praise God you got born again. You could still have a demon attached to your body or in your soul. but it doesn't possess you. Yeah, so this lady in this Word of Faith church that didn't believe Christians could have a demon said, "My chest hurts. I need you to pray for my heart." So everybody gets up there and they're praying the Word of Faith, and the Holy Spirit checked me for just a second, and I stepped back and listened to him, and I went up there and I laid my hands on her and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you get out of here, you foul, unclean spirit," and it's gone. She looked at me and she said, "It's gone." Her chest quit hurting that minute. It's gone. She was born again. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in water. Sitting in the Word of Faith church for years and years and years and years. But she needed to have a little bit of deliverance. She needed to get set free. Don't get all flaky. Don't go buy a book on demonology. That's bull. Read the Bible. Understand that you have the power and authority over the devil to cast him out, because Jesus said so. Not because I said so, but because Jesus said so. And when you cast that thing out, it's as if Jesus did it. Amen? You do it in the name of Jesus. Do everything in the name of Jesus. So let's finish up here on this little adventure here. "They that fed the swine fled in, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts." These guys missed a chance to shout hallelujah. Jesus did a notable miracle in their, right there in their own place. Set this man free. The guy that was causing trouble all over town. The guy that everybody was afraid of. All of a sudden is sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they said, "You get out of here, preacher. We don't need none of your faith preaching nonsense in this town. We don't want to hear the word of grace around here. You got to watch out for those grace preachers. They'll lead you into trouble." No. They talked bad about Jesus. They're going to talk bad about you too. But who cares? Who cares? You're on a mission. You're anointed by God to go on this mission, to sow the word of God. Whatever happens along your happy little journey of sowing the word of God is going to be up to you and the Holy Spirit, how much you decide you're going to be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit to do this. It's a fun adventure. It's absolutely, it's beyond anything you can even imagine. Just get excited and get ready to be used and go out there and do this. Let's finish up here. "Possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on you. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." And so this guy that had been possessed by the devils and living a terrible life, cutting himself, living in caves, living a horrible life, and all of a sudden Jesus comes in there and saves him. And the guy wants to go hang out with Jesus. Well, I don't blame him. I mean, everybody, you know, Decapolis means 10 cities. Everybody in that whole area hated this guy. They knew about him. They didn't like him at all. They had no use for him. All of a sudden, somebody shows up there and gets him set free from this mess that he's in, gets him set free from the devil. And he wants to follow Jesus around. I don't blame him. I would too. Then Jesus says, no. You go home to your friends and you tell them what God has done for you. And you think you got a hard mission? This guy is like the local drunk. This guy is like the guy who is in bar fights all the time, who is drinking and passing out downtown all the time. This is the guy that hasn't been clean in 2 months. He probably had a shower in 2 weeks. This is the guy that maybe beat up on his wife. This is the guy that has done everything wrong. This is the guy that everybody hates. This is the guy that everybody makes fun of. And all of a sudden he gets saved. And God tells him, hey, go tell your friends. Well, my friends think I'm crazy. So what? Well, my friends are afraid of me. So what? Nobody's going to believe a thing I say. So what? You go tell people about Jesus. You go tell them how Jesus transformed your life. And if you have to, use words. This was crazy. I heard a preacher say that. He said, you need to preach the gospel every single day, and if you have to, use words. And I thought, oh, I don't know what that's all about. Well, several years later, I'm in Bible school, and my pastor called me from Wyoming, and he said, hey, do you know so-and-so is a man and a wife? And I said, no, I don't. I kind of remember the name, but I don't really know him. And he said, well, they showed up at church. They came up to me and they said, we knew Skeet before Jesus, and then we knew Skeet after Jesus. Whatever you did to him, do that to us. I don't ever remember talking to him. That's what the Word of God does. That's what the seed of God does. When you sow the word, you don't know if it's going to hit good ground. You don't know if it's going to land on rocks. You don't know if the bird's going to get it, and it's none of your business. Your job is to tell people about Jesus. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit worry about the outcome. Here we just seen a man in a very impossible situation. He was possessed with the devil. And then Jesus set him free and then put him into what some might call an impossible situation. We always find impossibilities in everything. But God says, with God, it is all things are possible. So here's this guy that just got saved. And he's been sent out to 10 cities in an area that everybody thinks he's crazy. Amen? Now, That was the first planting of the seed. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 31. You know, Jesus, he could have said, you know, I went over to that area, those 10 cities, and there was just one crazy guy that I was able to help. Everybody else told me to leave. So I don't think I'm going to go back there because I didn't get a very good turnout at the meeting. The offering wasn't very big. There's only one people showed up. But that was the first planting of the seed. Now look at verse 31. I'm going to show you the first fruit. Again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. They bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hand on him. That's pretty much different than the last time he was there. They're asking him to leave. But now they brought a deaf guy there and said, hey, lay hands on this guy. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That's a whole different turnout from the first time. The first time he got met with the devil, he took care of that deal, but he had his seed planted in that area. Don't be discouraged if you don't get much done talking to somebody. Plant the seed. And don't get frustrated and don't fight with them. Just let them go. If they go, they go. Then pretty soon, they seen something. And then they got some questions. And then they want you to actually pray for somebody. Did you know I've had unbelievers come up to me and ask me to go pray for somebody they knew? Yeah. And they said, no, you don't go to church here. I ain't going there over there to pray for none of your friends. I didn't say nothing like that. Yeah, I'll go pray for your friend, but you need to be a believer first. No, no. That's not the way it works. You know, Jesus didn't ever do that. Did you know Jesus prayed for a lot of scoundrels? Did you know that Jesus never insisted on anybody being born again before he prayed for them? When people see God do something, it gets their attention. And then they start asking questions. And then you can start ministering into their life. Amen. But it's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be the Word of God. Now, go to Mark chapter 8, verse 1. And I'll show you the hundredfold return on that Word of God. Mark chapter 8, verse 1 says, in those days, the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and having nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples, set before them. They did set them before the people. They had a few small fishes, and he blessed, commanded to set them also before the people. So did they eat and were filled, and they took up of the seven broken meat, of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets. They that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. That's 4,000 men. In those days, they didn't count women and children. They were not part of the census. So if there was 4,000 men, you got to figure there should have been at least 2,000 or 3,000 wives. And then however many children they had. I would say revival broke out right there. He started by going into one area and getting very little done, but the guy went and talked about how Jesus set him free. And then pretty soon his friends were starting to bring people to Jesus so that they could set free. And then pretty soon there was thousands of them coming to see Jesus. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small assignments. There is no such thing as a small assignment in the kingdom of God. Every single assignment is very important. If God puts you onto something, it's very important. Take it to heart. Don't act like it's just some small thing, because it's not. It's a very important thing. Every single task, no matter how small it may seem, is vitally important in the kingdom of God. It's all important. And don't worry if you don't ever get noticed. God notices. He notices. He sees it all. He sees everything you do. Well, I didn't get an award. You will in heaven. You will. Well, nobody said thank you. As long as they thank God, that's all that matters. Now, even at that, you would have thought that everybody would have been running around full of faith, shouting hallelujah and ready to go on to the next thing. But here's the very next thing that happened. Look at verse 11. The Pharisees, the religious mafia, came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. He sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. What's going on? The religious people started casting doubt. I don't know how many times I've prayed for people and I've seen them change us. And then a couple weeks later, I run into them and they're having challenges. And I'll start asking them what's going on so I can locate them. And invariably, there'll be a religious person that caused them to stumble. Well, you don't need to put much faith in those Word of Faith preachers, because I've seen people get healed before, and then they were back in their wheelchair the next week. You stay away from those Word of Faith preachers because they're after your money. That's all they want is your money. I had one tell me I wasn't born again. He said, "You didn't do it right." Stay away from the people that want to cause doubt. People that want to get you off of the Word of God that you've received. Stay away from that. Don't entertain them at all. Just stay away from that. You get the Word of God sown in your heart, keep it. Guard your heart with diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Don't get off that word that you received from God. Amen? Somebody may say, "Well, that's not for today." Stay away from that. How do you know it really happened? Stay away from that. Stay away from the doubt givers. Amen? Find people that will stand in faith with you and agree with you and encourage you in your fight. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you have given us in your death, burial, and resurrection. The work of the cross of Jesus is a complete work in our lives. And he has met absolutely every single need that we'll need every day. Father, teach us how to receive of your abundance. Receive it by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here.